It says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I, meaning God, sought for a man among them who would make a wall, what he means is build up a hedge and stand in the gap, means to intercede before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy. But I found no one. Now I want you to think about it. In all of Israel, he couldn't find a single man that would stand up for God. And man, I'm telling you, that hit me right between the eyes because, listen, Harvest, I'm going to say Harvest, and if you've come three times, you're part of us. You can be a guest only twice, and then on the third time, you become a part of us, okay? Harvest is going to stand in that gap. You hear me this morning? We're going to stand in that gap and be his people and love God and people and not compromise the word of God, but listen to what God says and do it. Are you with me on that? Okay. I also want to just make a quick a thank you. You've seen that the lobby has been kind of remodeled. Looks good, doesn't it? And so anyhow, I just wanted to thank those who helped. There are different levels of help, and I just appreciate that. All right, so we're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. Actually, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And while we're in 2 Thessalonians, sorry, I lost my whole thought. Okay, all right. Not that that was obvious. Right? Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, and we teach verse by verse in this church. When you come on Sundays, you're going to get it verse by verse through different epistles. And 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And so we jumped over to Ephesians chapter 6 to look at our offensive and defensive tools that God has given us for our protection. And we are on the seventh piece of the armor. And I know that it's a piece of the armor because when you see, I'll read it, but it's about praying always. And the ING words all go back, all seven pieces of the armor, to stand in Christ and stand against sin and so on. And so this one is going to be praying always, and maybe we could understand it better from a military point of view, communicating with headquarters. All right, so let's take a moment of silent prayer and between you and God and ask for that teachable heart again this morning. And then I'll come back for prayer requests, and then we're going to take a journey in prayer. Let's pray. All right, let's look at our passage for today. I'm going to read the black, and you're going to read the blue. I'm going to stand on this side. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Okay. Next slide. There we go. always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. For all the, you know, when my grandkids stay overnight, we have only 14. When they're all over there, it's almost a killer deal. You know, some of my grandkids will stay overnight, and Debbie and I are always a little self-conscious when we get up in the morning because the kids come jumping on the bed and they climb in and they want to tickle. In fact, the last one we had over was Broden, and that's John, one of the leaders, and so he's laying between Debbie and I, and he looks at me and gives me this kind of evil eye and goes, and hits me right in the face. And I thought, he's a black whale. But, you know, they tickle and play. And then what we when we get up, we want to take our shower and that kind of thing. So we send them downstairs, and get them playing with the toys and hope that Debbie and I can shoo them down there and they'll stay and we can get in the shower and get dressed before they make their way back up the stairs. Now, do you grandparents know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay. And so I feel vulnerable, and I think Debbie does too, that when they escape our tactics and come upstairs and they see one of us in the shower, and thank God for steam, right? You know, and I think, what are they thinking in their minds, you know? You know, and in the same way, as you think about this, do you ever get the feeling when you're under attack of being undressed in the Christian life? You ever feel like, man, you're almost naked, and these daily battles come in, and you feel so defenseless, and that deep, uncomfortable groan of exposure? It reminds me of Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, and when they sinned, all of a sudden they realized, oh, we're naked. And they took some leaves and sewed them together and made clothes so that they could wear them. And God said, who told you you're naked? And it was because of the sin that all of a sudden they realized that embarrassment and that shame of being naked. And so I want to help you dress this morning in your armor. And I want to help you shoo out the tricks and schemes of the devil. So let's retake a look at verse 18, and I want to explain through it so you get a really good understanding of what it's saying. Verse 18, praying. Now I want to stop there for a second and talk about the grammar. This is a participle for you English majors, okay? And each one of the pieces of armor have an ing, standing or wearing or whatever, and it all goes back to the word stand, okay, in God's power. And so praying always with all prayer, meaning in the prayer there's when we talk to God or we worship God, that's the prayer. And then the supplication means to plead our requests. It doesn't mean to just go, you know, Lord, will you get me a car? It's not that kind of prayer. It's pleading, Lord, these people are hurting. Help, Lord, help us. That's the kind of supplication we're talking about here in the Spirit. In other words, praying to God from your spirit to the Holy Spirit, being watchful, being alert or awake to this end. It means in all seasons. Boy, there's some seasons when you don't want to pray, and there's other seasons where you do, and he's saying just do it all the time. Don't worry about the seasons, okay? With all perseverance means all consistency, and then, and supplication, he uses again, pleading our requests for all the saints. He wants us to pray for each other and hold each other up in prayer. A lot in those verses, isn't it? And the very first word in the original is missing in our English translation, and I don't know why. But it's important. It's the word dia in Greek, which means through or by means of, okay? And so I want to translate the verse from the original with that. Stand is the verb, okay? Stand by means of every prayer and pleading request, praying in every season in your spirit, number two, and praying, staying alert or awake, with all consistency, because all of you know you've prayed and fallen asleep at some point, right? Or am I the only one? Okay. And number three, with intense effort, pleading for the saints, pleading for each one of us. So the question here this morning for clarity is, I want to ask this question to help bring it into focus. Why in the world would God tell us to ask and plead if our prayers make little or no difference? Right? Why would he tell us to pray if it doesn't have some kind of action with God? And according to the apostle, he's looking at prayer like communication with headquarters, which is necessary in any army that has ever existed throughout time. You need communication. And so we have communication, direct communication with headquarters to get the directives and fight the battle and ask for help, aerial support, okay? And we need that aerial support, don't we? And so let's draw two thoughts together here. First, the action is being dressed in the armor so that we won't be exposed while trying to fend off the darts of the devil without the power of God. And second, the action is by means of prayer, both for our own requests and for praying and pleading for each other. Okay, so we know what pleading means, and when we are in huge trouble, right? I mean, in other words, when you beg for, have you ever begged for help from God? Well, of course we have. We get ourselves in some pretty wild jams, don't we? Either our own doing or somebody else's doing to us, and we go, oh God, I need you. Okay, that's the pleading, okay? But do you seek and plead God, even if it isn't an emergency? For your brothers and sisters in the faith, for obstacles in your lives that keep us from serving Him. And maybe, just maybe, we have a hard time praying because we pray for comfort and we pray for things to be okay and a little bit pleasurable. Because when they're not pleasurable, we think that's wrong, right? We've decided suffering's wrong and uncomfortableness is wrong, and so we pray for that comfort. And so we see little to no results in our prayer. So I want to read this just from James. We've been there before, but in James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And by pleasures, it means the desire for enjoyment and comfort. And James says, God will not answer your pleasure prayer or your comfort prayer. So maybe that's why we don't see a lot of times an answer to our prayer, because all we're doing is praying in so life becomes totally comfortable. And I think about it and I think, oh, I pray, but I seldom do I think about knee bending, pleading, begging on behalf of my relatives, friends or family, unless it's an emergency. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, we all have kids or grandkids or relatives that are wayward, and it's so easy not to pray for them because we think, oh, well, they got free choice. They can do what they want, so why pray? Well, why? Because God told us to. Right? God told us to pray. And He wouldn't tell us to pray it if it has no value. And I look at their wayward ways and their discouraged souls and even their arrogant attitudes and their foolish lifestyle, and my heart breaks for them, and yet I forget to go, God, please, please do something in here. I'm begging you, God, please get them back. And, you know, I want to just say this, however you pray is okay. God said to pray for everything. He said you don't even know how to pray it like you're supposed to. So you have to depend on God to translate all that out. Amen? Okay. You know, and my heart breaks for them, and I think to myself, I can't do anything about it. It's your problem, God. They're your problem. And He say, no, they aren't. It's your problem too. Because you haven't prayed about it. And it makes me want to argue with God. You ever get that way? Or is it just me? Okay, I want to argue with them. I say, well, wait a minute. I can't control them. But who's right? He's right. He tells you and me to plead on their behalf, and plead means, from the dictionary, to make an emotional appeal, to present and argue a position. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it, to argue a position with God? No, God, you know, and you argue your position. And God says prayer by requesting, by pleading for His intervention, and pleading for the saints is also part of our armor of protection. And I'm pleading with God for you all, because I think we're ripe and ready to reap the harvest, to move on to the next level in this church, to grow, to bring friends and family to hear the gospel, to go out into the community and talk to people in the community. Because you know what? It's a lot easier to live life if you're a Christian. Isn't that true? It's not, because there's so many consequences even living as a Christian. I can't imagine anymore. I lived in that world for years, and it was a nightmare. And these people in our community are in a nightmare, and they need the gospel. They need help. And we can bring our friends and family. We can see people, new believers come to Christ. And you know what I'd like to say is this. We have quite a few chairs in here, right? And we can get more in, by the way. No more empty chairs. There's people that need Christ out there. And we need to be praying. We need to fill up these chairs, and they need to hear the gospel. Because I believe that we are ready to make that next step, a big difference in the kingdom of God. Are you with me this morning? I think we're ready. And I think you know we're ready. Because we've been in that place where, you know, you kind of go through a dry time and that thing, and all of a sudden you wake up and think, okay, God wants to move us on. That's the way it is in our lives, isn't it? All of a sudden we see we need to take that next level. But it will be by God's power, not ours. He's told us to move forward, but he wants us to work within his power. And it's not a gimmick. It's not a program to pray. But because we love him and we love people. And we want to see him come to Jesus. And we want to see them grounded in the faith. We need to pray in unison with his Spirit for these people out there that are dying. You know, when you go to the doctor's office, inevitably, at some point, he walks over to the freezer, pulls out the stethoscope, and aims it towards your chest, right? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, these days, they're kind of doing the plastic thing, so it's not so cold, but I remember when I was a kid and I see that stethoscope coming, you knew as soon as it hit your chest, you'd go, right? And then he'd say, just breathe normal, right? How can he breathe normal when he's got a stethoscope on your chest and he's telling you, now breathe normal? I mean, our body is a rhythm, and we have to take these breaths all the time, and all of a sudden we lose that rhythm and we think, oh, wow, I breathe all the time and I don't even realize it until he gets that stethoscope up there. We're just not conscious. And all of a sudden, now, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like I'm totally out of sync with my breath, right? Because the doctor usually puts the stethoscope on and listens, and then he goes like this to his watch to see how many beats per minute. And then he's kind of looking at you to see how fast or slow you're breathing. Have you ever noticed that? Well, I worked in medicine for a while, and so I do that too. I would have to take vitals and that kind of thing. And so then I can't breathe normal. You know, and I'm trying to breathe normal, but I don't know what normal is because I haven't been tracking my breath up to that point. And so we get out of sync, and you know, God wants us to be in rhythm with the Spirit when we pray. And with automatic prayer. God desires that we pray, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. He just wants us to talk to him. And he searches our heart, the scripture says, and then he intervenes for us. And he wants us to be in rhythm with him. So here's what I'm going to do, because we need a good physical idea. I want you to start clapping in rhythm with me. Okay. Now, Deb and I took some dance lessons, ball lessons years ago, and we tried to dance with each other, but we weren't very good at it. So one day, the instructor comes up, and she starts taking me around the ballroom, and what a rhythm. We just moved to the beat. It was wonderful. And I came back, and Deb and I began to dance, and you can stop. You get the idea? We fall out of rhythm. We fall out of rhythm because we don't get in rhythm with the Holy Spirit and with God. And I wanted to do that just for you to see the picture, because we get screwed up and then pretty soon we think, what's wrong? And it's because you get out of the rhythm with God. Boom, 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 boom. Pray, pray, pray. Love, love, love. Do you know Christ? Do you know? Do you know? You know what I'm saying? It's a rhythm. And when we get out of the rhythm with life, it becomes hard. And we, like I said before, we might not know how to pray, but He knows. He knows exactly what's going on with us. And we seek Him and we turn to Him. And we begin to, and don't take this wrong, we begin to dance with God in our Christian life. Spirit to spirit. It's our defensive one. Be strong. Stand through the act of taking up the whole armor of God and stand by means of prayer. Prayer must be a part of who we are. Part of our natural response to life, part of our inner dialogue with ourselves. We are in a battle, like it or not. Lucy, my youngest granddaughter, she's not quite 1.5. And she's starting to go through that independent stage where she's getting her own personality, and so she's climbing up on things she can't do and falling. I've caught her a few times, and parents have other times she's fallen herself. But she thinks she can do it. Lucy thinks she can do it. And if you ever see her, and some of you know who Lucy is, all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, she's got a personality. And so she's wanting people to hold her, but then other times she wants to get down, then she wants to get up, then she, you know, that phase they go through where they can't sit still. And she thinks she's so self-sufficient. Well, so do we. So do we. We think we're so efficient that we can do what we need to do, and we don't have to worry about the warfare, and we can't see the fight, we can't see the injuries, we can't see the angelic hosts from heaven at war. And my friends, we are not self-sufficient at all. Get over yourself. We have no idea what He can do and does when we pray. We have places to go. God wants us to serve Him and enjoy ourselves doing it. And He wants us to talk to Him in the process. And so I'm asking you this morning, will you pray and put on the armor and get in rhythm with God? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, help us to understand Your rhythm in our life and help us to get into the rhythm. Help us not to hesitate, but do as You ask us to do and what our conscience tells us to do and what that little inner voice tells us to do, to serve You. And help us to remember that we are talking to the great God of the universe who could do anything, anything, anything. While heads are bowed, you may have come this morning and you may not have a relationship with God. I just want to talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that is eternal death. But He doesn't stop there. He says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Declaring Him as Lord and believing in your heart that He rose from the dead, you will be saved. That's what the Scripture says. And so, my friend, this morning, if I'm talking to you, and maybe this is the day you want to ask Christ to come into your life and change your life, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can just pray that prayer along with me. And the prayer goes like this, and you just whisper along, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that You rose from what the Scripture says, and because of that, You rose again for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for You. I surrender my life to You. While heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, you really meant it. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to give you a Bible if you need one. But this is a new journey. And what I'd ask you to do is raise your hand up and put it down so we know to pray for you. Come and see us if you need a Bible. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else this morning? We'll give you a Bible, and we'd most certainly be glad to talk to you. I'll stick around after the service is over, so you can talk if you'd like to. Father, we just thank you so much that we can come to you and you become our master, because otherwise our master is the evil one who continually puts us into bad situations, bad places. And Lord, I just thank you that we can trust you because you're the God of the universe. And Lord, may you be glorified this morning. May you be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.